The Pentagon in 2016 aims to get at least a step closer to a clean financial audit. Well, maybe a baby step, but an expensive one, as we hear from DoD reporter Jared Serbu.
The reason they're calling it a pivotal year is that for the first time, the books of all of the military services, not just the Marine Corps, are now under professional audit. They've hired outside auditing firms to come in. Really, the main purpose of it at this point is to do discovery and find out where the problems are that would eventually keep them from passing a clean audit. They're pretty sure that they're not going to get a clean opinion on the first time out, but they've got enough of their systems in order and enough of their discrepancies resolved, they think, that they can actually come in and start to make some progress as to rather than just having it be a waste of time.
So what's going to happen?
Specifically, what's happening in 2015 is what they call their schedules of budgetary activity are under audit. This is a piece of a piece of a piece of the audit, basically a one-year view of the larger what's called a statement of budgetary resources, which is essentially money in and money out of each of the military services' annual budgets. They think that those schedule of budgetary activity audits will be wrapped up by December. As I said, they're not expecting a clean opinion, but this is at least step one in eventually getting that general fund audit completely finished. The bottom line here, I think, is that if they're going to come around and meet the legal deadline that Congress has set, which is making sure that they get a full audit passed on their fiscal year 2017 financial statements, they've got a really aggressive schedule ahead of them. They can't have any more big surprises. So they're expecting to get these smaller SBA audits done and that learning process figured out this year, then actually pass SBA audits next year for all the military services, then move on to the statement of budgetary resources, and then in 2018, hopefully they've got all their ducks in a row and they pass. So it's
only an
ambitious
accountant could love all of this. And so now the Marine Corps has had a clean audit. Isn't there anything the rest of DoD can learn from them?
Yes and no. So you're right. In 2012, or at least on their 2012 books, they did get a clean opinion on their statement of budgetary resources. But as you'll recall, earlier this year, the DoD Inspector General pulled that audit opinion back because they had suddenly discovered that in these things called suspense accounts in the Treasury Department, there were all these unaccounted for transactions that were never part of the audit. So they said that that could be material to any potential decision. And that's one potential stumbling block for the rest of the department, because each of the military services has all these phantom transactions floating around in those Treasury suspense accounts. Nobody knows quite exactly where those transactions came from, what they're tied to, the magnitude of them. So as we speak, the DODIG is going through all of those Treasury suspense accounts right now to determine how material they might be. But it could be a big problem. It could be a very minor problem. We just don't know yet.
And there's also a cost to all of this. This is not free. And you cite some pretty substantial figures getting this all ready.
It's really amazing, and I've not seen much attention paid to this, and I'm not necessarily passing judgment on whether it is or is not a good use of financial resources, but it's substantial. So just in 2015, the department spent $634 million just to do all of the kind of behind-the-scenes work that you need to do in order to basically have the support infrastructure for an audit, and a lot of that is just chasing down the individual pieces of paper that the professional auditor come in and look at a transaction and say, hey, I need some more background on this. I need some evidence that this transaction is actually valid. And just to give you a sense of the scale of that, in 2015, as they've gone through these limited SBA audits, the auditors made 17,500 separate requests for extra documentation. That led them to have to go and hunt down some 26,000 separate records. So that's a lot of what is made up of that $634 million figure. It's going to go even higher next year. They're planning on spending $746 million in 2016. And in the out years, there's going to be quite a bit of spending even after they get some of the initial legwork done. I mean, they're talking about even 5 years out from now, spending something on the order of $700 million on sort of a sustaining basis. So yeah, it's no small figure.
Well, I guess compared to their improper payment levels, though, it might be a good down payment to get that all back.
It might be, depending on how many improper payments it actually prevents. And I don't think DoD believes that becoming auditable is going to necessarily solve a huge amount of improper payments issues. I mean, the comptroller's office has been saying for several years, yeah, we don't necessarily comply with generally accepted accounting principles, but we can show you and with pretty good granular detail where we're getting our money and how we're spending our money. So I'm not sure that even they believe that that an audit's going to do much on improper payments.
Jared Serbu is Federal News Radio's DoD reporter. And the other big issue, and which you're writing about, that is going to continue to be an issue in 2016 is the interoperability, which DoD says they're very close to having interoperability with VA. VA says the same thing. Truth or fiction?
I mean, the demonstration that they gave a handful of reporters last week was rather compelling. They've got this thing called the Joint Legacy Viewer, which is, as the name implies, just a viewer application that both departments can now use to see what's in each other's data systems. And the impressive thing about it to me, it's hard to describe on the radio, but when a clinician goes into the system, pulls up an individual patient's name, it's not as though they're seeing DOD data here in one window and VA data here in one window. It's all one integrated view. So you'll look down into this little panel and it'll say, here's all the allergies that have ever been documented over this patient's life. And here's the facility that did it, whether it was a DOD facility or a VA facility. Here's all the procedures that have ever happened. Here's all the medications that they've ever gotten. So it really is a single integrated view from regardless of what the data source is. And the bottom line that DOD and VA officials are really foot stomping right now is that the secret sauce is not that viewer. It's all the behind the scenes work that they've been doing really over the past 2 years to make sure that the background data is actually interoperable. And this Joint Legacy Viewer just happens to be the tool that they're using right now. And now that all of that legwork is done, it really opens up a lot of opportunities to build new kinds of applications. They brought up the idea, for example, of decision support tools that could automate a lot of the work that clinicians are having to do as they manually go in and you know, look at all of that data and decide what the best medication might be for this patient. The system could perhaps make a few recommendations for a doctor, with a doctor making the final call. So, but back to the initial question that you opened up with, Tom. The milestone that they're really hitting right now is based on a mandate in the 2014 National Defense Authorization Act, where Congress told both DOD and VA to make their systems interoperable, since they weren't going to pursue a single health IT solution that they would share anymore. They're about late, about a year late, but DOD now says they've done that. They issued what they called an interim notification to Congress last week that they have met the intent of that legislation. VA says that it's going to issue the same thing sometime in the second quarter of next year. But functionally, they really seem to think that they're there.
And once the data is all lined up and interoperable, that opens up the possibility for all kinds of applications, such as analysis for better outcomes and all of the grand purported benefits of electronic health records.
That's right. I mean, that's one of the key things here. So it's not just this viewer, and there will be many more iterations of this viewer. In fact, what VA is working on right now is this platform called EHMP, which will be part of their larger Vista electronic health record. So this Joint Legacy Viewer will morph into just a single interface that VA clinicians use when they're seeing a patient. They'll use it both to input data and view data from the patient's entire life, including when they were in DOD facilities. So they're really collapsing all of these different IT systems that they've had for years, where they could look at different little elements of whether it's DOD or VA data down into a shrinking set of tools, and eventually just one. They're about there now.
Federal News Radio's DOD reporter, Jared Serbu. Read his Inside the DOD Reporter's Notebook now at federalnewsradio.com. Share this interview with your colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.